Today we're going to continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Last time we were together, we were in the book of Acts, and we're going to pick up there in Acts chapter 20, verse 20. And this is what the Word of God has to say. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Amen. And here we have in Acts chapter 20, Paul's farewell address to the elders at Ephesus. And here he is describing his ministry. As we see here in this verse, he taught publicly and also from house to house. So what we have here is, we have the 2020 vision of public and private ministry, also called Highway and Hedges by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 14, 23. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. All righty, let's continue in Acts chapter 20 with me. Look at verse 28. The Word of God has this to say. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So what we want to see this is the fact that God has his own blood troubles the scholars. So the verse is changed in some of the new so-called Bible perversions. Amen. But what we want to see is the church is bought with a price. Christ purchased the church with his own blood. Amen. And then we also see that Paul tells them, the elders, that it was the Holy Ghost who made them overseers or pastors over the local church there in Ephesus for the purpose to not fleece the church of God, but to feed the church of God. So the thing we want to see is God gives a man a ministry. God gives man a church. Amen. He's the one that enables him. Amen. And to serve him. Amen. All righty, let's continue on. And we'll go to the next chapter of Acts, chapter 21. In verse number 11, Acts 21:11, we read this. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And of course, here we see what's happening here is here we have a prophecy from a prophet called Agabus, a prophecy concerning the Apostle Paul. He took Paul's girdle, we see, and what he was saying is, Paul, you go to Jerusalem. He said, the Holy Ghost told me, he said, the Jews are going to bind you and they're going to deliver you into the hands of the Gentiles. But what I want us to also see is the words, thus saith the Holy Ghost, suggest that the Holy Ghost is more than an active force of the Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, he's a person, the third member of the Holy Trinity. All righty, let's turn to Luke 22. Acts 22. We're in Acts chapter 22, in verse number 16. And the Word of God says, and now why tarrieth thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, here we have a favorite Church of Christ or Campbellite, amen, nesting place. because it seems to teach that water baptism washes away one's sins. However, the man that made the statement was a devout man according to the law. And we see that in verse 12 of Acts 22. And it said, one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, and not a trained and disciplined Christian. Ananias had the best intentions. But being so in tune with the law, he was more apt to associate water baptism with the laws of purification, which is found in Numbers chapter 19, than with the symbolism of the death, burial, and resurrection. The Christian is washed in the blood of Jesus and not with water. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, here it is, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then in Revelation chapter 5, and verses 9 and 10, we read, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Then we also read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the word of God says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, here it is, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Again, our study we're doing is on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Now, we're going to turn to the book of Romans in chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 with me. In Romans chapter 1, look with me at verse number 22 of Romans 1. We read this. Professing themselves to be wise. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This verse, my dear listener, needs to be posted above every door, of every classroom in America, and on every diploma. See, it is when men start thinking that they are smart that they get in trouble. Humility tends to keep men between the lines in a mode of reliance on God. But men often get too smart for God with higher education. Notice also with me, in conjunction with this, what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. The Word of God says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 2 with me. And in Romans chapter 2, I want us to look at verse number 23. The Word of God says, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonoreth thou God. So what we want to see here is, this is where we get the expression, breaking the law, amen. Now, Romans chapter 3, with me. Romans 3, verse 4, it says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Imagine what this world would be like if let be God be true, but every man a liar was the heart conviction of every person. or just every Christian for that matter. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And this is the first verse of the Romans Road verses. Every Christian should have it memorized. Here it shows that we're all sinners, that none of us are righteous. And it's written in the Word of God, as it is written. We can read it. Amen. The very words of God say there is none righteous, no, not one. And then we go over to, in conjunction with that, Romans 3:23, which is another Romans Rhodes verse, memory verse. We read this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's no doubt about it. We're all sinners. We all come into this world as sinners because we all and we're born with that fallen Adamic nature. Amen. Now let's look at Romans chapter 4 in verse number 5. We read this. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, this verse is not considered a Romans Road memory verse, but it certainly probably should be. A good companion verse is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, let's drop down in Romans chapter 4 to verse 15. We read this, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. This is a great verse to use when showing someone that young children are safe, even though they are not yet saved. Where there is no law, such as in the innocent heart of a child, there is no transgression. So there's no need to baptize or sprinkle a child. They're safe until they are saved. If they never receive Christ, then they are saved until they reach the age of accountability, which varies from one child to the next. Look at also in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39 what it says. Moreover, your little ones. So this is talking about Israel. And it's talking about the little ones of those Israelites, the children. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey in your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. So God is telling Israelites that their little ones, their children, they had no knowledge of good and evil. Amen. They didn't understand the law. They were innocent. So as a result, they're going to go into the promised land. I'm going to give it to them. They're going to possess it. Amen. Alrighty, Romans chapter 5, in verse number 1. The word of God has this to say, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse gives the theme of the book of Romans. It was justification by faith that grabbed Martin Luther by the heart and launched the Reformation. Therefore, being justified by faith, not by works, not by something we can do, but by faith in Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you and I can have peace with God. We were, who were enmity were enemies at one time. Now we can have peace with God. Amen. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen to that. Now, Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10. We read this, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be safe from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Great memory passage. Verse 8 is commonly used in Romans Rhodes verse, but why not also use 9 and 10, especially since verse 9 includes the blood. Amen. Justified by the blood. By the blood. Alrighty. Look in with me. And we're still in chapter 5 of Romans, verse number 13. The Word of God says this. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now this verse goes well with Romans 4:15, which says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Young children don't have to worry about going to hell, because sin is not imputed when there is no law. All right, Romans 5. We're still in Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 19 next. We read this, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I've always called this verse the most logical verse in the Bible. It's perfectly logical if Adam's sin can condemn everyone, then Christ's righteousness can save anyone. Amen? Alrighty, Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this verse. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, here's another good Roman Rhodes verse. The traditional gospel coin has half of this verse on one side and half on the other. For the wages of sin is death, that's the bad news. The good news is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. You don't have to do anything. When someone gives you a gift, you take it. So God offers you eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. If you take it, you receive it, you're saved. Amen. From the wages of sin is death. If you don't, then you're going to spend time in eternity in the lake of fire. Amen. All righty, Romans chapter 8. Verse number 9 with me. Romans 8, 9, we read this. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. And every Christian has this Spirit. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 4 with me. In verse number 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The charismatics who teach that one needs to receive the Holy Ghost after being saved are false teachers. Amen. We see that. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. And again, our verse in Romans 5, chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us. So a lot of times that charismatic person is in the flesh. Amen. Now, we're in Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 38 and 39 with me, if you would. Romans 8, 38 and 39. And this is what the Word of God has to say here. Again, in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, we read, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My dear listeners, this is a great eternal security passage. It can also be used to expose the fallacy that God loves everybody. God's love is not universal. It is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He so loved, past tense, the world at Calvary that he gave his Son. And those who reject his Son also reject his love and receive his wrath instead. Notice with me what it says in John chapter 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And if you don't believe on the Son, you shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide on you. All right, let's jump over to two chapters, to Romans chapter 10. In verse number 3, we read this, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." You see, my dear listeners, that's what people are doing. Seeking to establish their own righteousness instead of submitting to God's righteousness. That's what religion is all about. Religion is a system that people make up to seek their own righteousness, to somehow think that they're right with God through their religion, their religious traditions, and their ceremonies. But the Bible says, no, that's wrong. You want to be righteous, you don't establish your own righteousness, amen, but you submit yourselves under the righteousness of God. And how do you do that? By receiving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of these religions that man has established to establish his own righteousness are just going to send him to a sinner's hell. The only way you can be righteous before a holy God is to receive his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, God's righteousness is imputed to you or put on your account. So then when God looks at you, he sees you are righteous in the eyes of God. Now, let's jump down to verses 9 and 10 of Romans 10. We read this, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Here's another couple of verses from the Romans Road Group. Amen. Again, you got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe where? In your heart, not your head. That God raised him. What do you have to believe? That God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. And he tells you why you have to believe in your heart. For with the heart man believeth righteousness. And why do you have to confess with your mouth? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you have an inward and an outward, amen, expression. You believe inward in your heart. You confess outward, amen, the Lord Jesus, amen. Confession is made unto salvation. And praise the Lord for that. Now in verse 13 of our chapter here, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, the Lord really has a way of simplifying salvation. How can anything be more simple than calling on someone? No good works, no baptism, no church membership, just asking. Whosoever, anyone, put your name in there if you're not saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, it says you can count on it. You shall be saved. Amen. Alrighty, Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter 10. We're in that chapter. In verse number 17, the Word of God has this to say. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, faith isn't blind. Amen. Faith is based on God's words. So, since it takes faith to be saved, we saw that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, since it takes faith to be saved, it takes God's word to be saved, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 tells us, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The proper order is fact, faith, then feeling. Amen. Alrighty, Romans chapter 11 with me. And we're in Romans 11. And we want to look at verses 25 to 27. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, what I want us to see about this passage is this. So much for replacement theology. See, replacement theology is simply people believe God has replaced Israel with the church. And of course, we just read it that that's not the case. So God, so much for replacement theology and God being all done with Israel. My friends, Israel's best days are yet to come. Amen. According to the word of God. All right. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mean, these two verses you could preach several messages from, amen? But these are a great memory passage on how this world is not our home, and we should be transformed from it and not conformed to it, amen? See, when you get saved from something to something, amen? You get saved from the world, amen? And you get saved under God, amen, a new life. You're a new creature in Christ, and amen to that. Well, we just about run out of time. Hope you'll join me next time as we continue our journey and look at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.